I'll let you get started. Dear Father God, I just thank you so much for Raymond and the work that you're doing in Asia through him and through other men. And I just pray that you bless him this evening, bless him with wisdom, and most importantly, fill him with your spirit.
Yes.
So that he would be sensitive to what you would have him share this evening.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to lift him up to you, and I pray that you would empower him and fill him this evening.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Greetings and blessings to each one of you in the worthy, precious, wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I certainly count it a privilege and an honor to come into your midst. I am a stranger to most of you, right? Yeah. But you know, if you don't know me, I'll promise you that you're not missing very much. And Benji and Brian and Hans, you can just hold your peace, okay? But if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're missing everything. Amen? I trust I'm talking to a people that know Christ. And I do count it a privilege to be among you here this evening. I will be speaking in regards to IGO, Institute for Global Opportunities. And Benji, I want to thank you for laying that foundation. I will be speaking primarily of one aspect of ministry of IGO. IGO is now IGO Ministries, and there are at least six different ministries that are functioning under the title of IGO Ministries. God has abundantly blessed IGO, and it is growing at an accelerated pace. And we give him all the honor, all the glory, and it all belongs to him and what he is doing in Southeast Asia. So all praise, honor, and glory to him. As you see the presentation, keep that in mind. It's what God is doing. Yes, he's using men, but it's all about his glory among the nations, the people of Southeast Asia. Not only Southeast Asia, but really world over. Before I go into the presentation, which is primarily on the aspect of MTM, stands for the Macedonian Teaching Ministry, and it is a teaching ministry also where we, by invitation, go to different countries in Southeast Asia, but not only Southeast Asia, and we conduct leadership conferences or Bible conferences with these church leaders in equipping them, discipling them. As Brother Benji said, that was well covered. Like Paul told Timothy, finding those faithful men, teach them, train them, that they're able to go out and find others and teach and train them. Most all of our conferences are church leaders, missionaries, native church leaders, native missionaries, native pastors, native church planters. And their heart is to see the gospel go to their own people, but they have not had the opportunity for the Bible learning that you and I are blessed with. We have much to offer to them in Bible teaching and Bible training. Most of the evangelical world, the Protestant world, in the approximately the last 8 to 10 years has really been focusing on soul winning, especially in Southeast Asia. But few of them have focused on discipleship. You know, Christians are born into the family of God through a rebirth, but disciples are made through teaching, training, and equipping of the Word of God. So that's primarily what MTM is about. Our vision is to teach them, train them, disciple them, that they would move out and take the gospel to their own people, as well as edify and disciple and train in their churches. So that's what MTM is all about. You know, Paul heard the Macedonian call. It was a come and help us call. And that's exactly how it is with MTM. We're not soliciting or campaigning or asking people if we can come. Not once have we done that. And yet the door is wide open through invitations. Come and teach us the Word of God. And thus we have the name, the Macedonian Teaching Ministry. There is a table back there, before I go any further, where you can sign up for email updates. There's brochures back there. I am sorry I don't have with me, I tried to get some quickly, the IGO Bible Institute, the Missionary Training School handbooks. If you're here and you're a young person, or whoever you are really, and you have a heart to go and study the Word of God at IGO Bible Institute, our Missionary Training School, where Benji was, Hans was, Brian was, am I missing anybody? Okay? But there's many more coming. We do appreciate your support. We do appreciate your support. And that's why I have faith. There's many more coming. Okay? Good foundation laid. Okay? If you would like a handbook, I don't know if you guys have any. I'm sorry, I don't, but there's a sign-up sheet back there. Put your name on, and you make a little, yes. Well, thank you. Yes, we did miss Craig. Thank you. Yes, that's always at the risk when you start naming names. You're going to miss somebody. Never fails.
Paul's not there last year.
Yes, okay, where's Paul? Oh, there he is. Yes, how could I miss you? We were there when he was there. Okay, Wuvorihanonagi. Yeah, write your name on the sign-up sheet and make a little notation you'd like a handbook. We will make sure you get one, okay? I called our secretary or emailed our secretary, and she said she don't even have any, so I don't know where they are. They're somewhere. And you want one, you make sure you get your name on there, and we will get one to you. But also put your name on there if you'd like to get email updates and commit to prayer. Maybe you'd be interested in serving as a teacher sometime with MTM. Make a check mark for that as well. After the presentation, I will give you a period of time, hopefully there is time, for a Q&A time, questions and answers. So just hang on to your questions, and we will attempt to answer them after the presentation. Okay, without any further ado, could we have the lights? We will go into the presentation. Institute for Global Opportunities Ministries, or IGO, and that's what IGO stands for. This is the present long-term staff, and yours truly, Craig and Rachel, and their son, Bomani. This was taken back in April at our yearly retreat, and that was right over the time that their new son, Craig and Rachel's new son, was born, so they were not at the retreat. And I'm not going to go through all the names here, but I think many of you would know people. I will say this, Brother Val Yoder gives director leadership to all the different ministries, as there are different aspects and of the work there. As I mentioned, IGO Ministries has six different aspects of ministry now. Probably the more popular one is the Bible Institute or the Missionary Training School. I made mention of that. If you're a young person or whoever you are, you have interest, we invite you to come and study the Word of God and prepare for missions. Alongside of that is the English Center, which uses the English language, teaching the English language, as a social platform to reach the Thai people for the gospel. And then there's the Church Plant, which of course Craig and Rachel are part of. And then there's the Macedonian Teaching Ministry. And tonight's presentation primarily focuses on the Macedonian Teaching Ministry. My wife and I, our role is to give leadership to that part of IGO. And there's Ransom Ministries, which is a ministry that is reaching out to the prostitutes of Thailand for the sake and the cause of the gospel. And then there's our Asian Bible School. Every March, when there are no American students at our Bible school at Chiang Mai, we have a three-week Asian Bible School where church leaders from all over Asia, different countries, come together for a three-week study of God's Word. Moving into the Macedonian teaching ministry aspect of IGO, I want to just touch on the different times that we have clearly seen the fingerprints of God upon this ministry. We're basically a young ministry. It's no 2 years yet since the MTM was commenced. And we have seen the hand of God, the fingerprints of God, so many different times clearly upon MTM. Our purpose is to disciple and equip native Asian Christians to reach their own unreached people for Christ. But this thing has been growing so rapidly, so accelerated. In many ways, we have been running and scrambling to keep up with God. It's no longer just Asia. Later this year, a conference will be conducted in Malawi, Africa, as well as Cairo, Egypt. So it's not just Asia anymore, as God is expanding MTM's horizons and borders. Why disciple and equip a native Christian or native Christians as opposed to sending in foreign missionaries? We believe in foreign missionaries. Certainly this is not exclusive, but MTM focuses on discipling and equipping native Christians. Here are some reasons why. A native Christian, when he comes with the gospel, is not a foreigner. He speaks the native and village languages. To go into a country as a foreigner, it takes a number of years. It varies on the different languages to learn the language. And then till you learn the local dialects and the village languages, it is generally, you can look at 3 to 4 years before you can effectively communicate the gospel in that culture and in that language. A native Christian already has all that. A native Christian can live far cheaper in these cultures than we as Western Christians or foreign Christians. Someone said on recently when I said that, unfortunately, but it's a fact. Native Christians can go where foreigners, more times than not, cannot go for fear of losing your life and being so radically different. They may eliminate you. Many of the native Christians have told me there's regions we cannot take you. Your life would be in danger. Not so with a native Christian. Native Christians can best contextualize. So it's very difficult for my Dai Chung. The gospel. They can use the right illustration and the right word picture in the right setting that communicates it all. As foreigners, that takes a long time and maybe never able to do that. Native Christians, when they come to Christ, they're laying their whole lives on the line, and many times they are willing to die for Christ. And their commitment is in a level that is very different many times than us as American Christians. And that makes a world of difference when you're going into dangerous regions, difficult regions, and into almost unreachable regions in taking the gospel to those people. Just a few reasons why it is good to mobilize a native Christian. It has been said that few people reject the gospel. Rather, they reject the package that the gospel comes in. Think about it. When a foreigner comes to another ethnic or race of people with the gospel, it is packaged with strange skin color, strange clothing, more times than not, strange language and accent. He speaks funny. He eats strange food. He has strange customs and habits that are difficult for him to change. And then when he ministers the gospel, therefore his message is perceived as strange, and you could say foreign. It doesn't fit the culture. But when a native Christian comes with the gospel, there's no baggage problem because the man or sister that comes is one of his own people. The missionary is one of his own people. When the missionary is one of his own people and culture, therefore, the gospel message has far greater impact. And it's been interesting to me to learn that in the regions of our world where the majority of your unreached people groups are, there is most always in close proximity is where the church of Jesus Christ is growing at accelerated rates. And we believe that it's God's heart that they would be the ones that would take the gospel to their own unreached
people. As Paul told Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, and Brother Benji already covered this verse, and let's remember Paul was a missionary. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is the vision and heartbeat of IGO MTM, the Macedonian Teaching Ministry. Just a few conference pictures that have taken place. This one was in Myanmar. This one is in North India. This one is just 3 weeks ago in Nepal. And this one was in South India at Visag. Just a bit of an idea of the kinds of people that are coming to hear the Word of God. Let's talk a bit about the fingerprints of God. This is Brother Zayla from Aizawl, Mizoram, India. He's a 26-year-old young man. He's not married. And he has a heart to see his own people take the gospel to the unreached of his country. So he has his own missionary foundation movement training school. Here's where Aizawl is at. It's northeast India. And we have an open door to come and minister at his Bible school or his missionary training school. The Mizo people of this region of India, 100 years ago, were headhunters. Out of the revival of the Wales revival, the Presbyterian Church of Wales sent out many missionaries. One young man came to this region of India, preached the gospel, and God prospered him mightily. And there was a mighty move of God, and all of the ethnic race of the Mizo people turned to Christ, who aforetime were headhunters. The young men had scalps in their huts, their bamboo huts, to prove their manhood. And when this young man came with the gospel about 100 years ago, the whole tribe or the whole region turned to Christ. And to this very day, most of the Mizo people have a vision and a burden to see their country come to Christ. Unfortunately, it has become somewhat methodical and religiosity, but Zayla has a real heart to see his people find life in Christ with purpose and meaning. This is his father, who is an evangelist, and there has been martyrdom in that region for the cause of the gospel as they have went out to neighboring tribes and villages who have not yet heard the gospel. And this is the skirt of a young lady, 26-year-old, she was unmarried, a missionary who was martyred for being a missionary as recent as 1989. Zayla's father uses this skirt in his evangelistic crusades to bring people to selling out to Jesus Christ to be a missionary and to be a witness for Christ among the unreached of their own country. Zayla has realized that a lot of their people have lost their life and their passion and their zeal in Christ. So Zayla was searching on the internet for a people that would have vitality, passion, and a faith and practice that glorifies God by obedience to the Word of God. And he came upon Anabaptist websites, and Anabaptist became aware of the Anabaptist people. And unbeknown to him, we were scheduling this conference at the same time that he was searching. And he began to pray that God would send him some Anabaptist preachers and teachers. And when we arrived there, the first in November of 2009, he was telling us this testimony, how he's learned of a people. He said, their people are dry, their people are dead, he said. They have a heart for missions, but it's methodical, it's just mechanism. He said, it's not out of the life of Christ. And I have such a burden to see our people experience life in Christ and that the river of life flows out of their heart and brings life to others. And he said, I've heard about some, read about some Anabaptist people. Have you ever heard of Anabaptist people? And I'm sitting there with Collier Berkshire, you know, and he sort of winks at me and I sort of wink at him. And he sits front in his chair and he says, no, he says, you're not Anabaptists, are you? We said, yes, we are. Can you imagine his excitement, his thrill in realizing that God had answered his prayer and brought us together? And that was the foundational blessing of the conference, these young people here. He was so excited, and God moved mightily. This was our group in 2008. Actually, it was November of 2008. I think I said earlier 2009. This was our 2009 group. We go back year after year. We've been back twice now. And this was another group, also 2009. We had some IGO students along on this one, on their ministry trip. I think they're on here, too. And been such a blessing working with him. And how do you explain something like that other than, this was in 2008 and 2009, the fingerprints of God. Let me tell you about Billy. There's Brother Collier. He's also a teacher and on staff at IGO. He was. He has since terminated and has moved back to northern Indiana. Let me tell you about Billy. He was in the first class in 2008, a young man, and he drove a spiritual stake the week of the conference. God really worked in his heart. And here we hear a bit of his about him in this video. After the conference, we climbed a high mountain and had a sharing time together on top of the mountain.
Quite a high mountain here with the students. And the view is just
can you turn it up a little?
Spectacular. With the river way down below.
All right, is there no more volume there?
Eyes all in the
thank you,
Billy.
There's
who
Billy.
Loves Jesus. Yes, he drove a spiritual stake this week, and he is going to serve the Lord Jesus faithfully and be a missionary for him. God bless you, my brother Liana.
This was then our prayer time afterwards, but I want to tell you more about Billy. Now it's 1 year later. In November of 2009, we are back at Izol. And Billy is now no longer a student at the missionary training school. Billy is now out in a village where the gospel has never been preached, and he's working there as a missionary preaching the gospel. And not only is Billy working there, but he hosts some IGO students that went with him to that remote village. These IGO students, who were on their ministry trip after a term, they were the only white people that had ever been in this village. And they ministered there in ministering the gospel because a native missionary was willing to make the sacrifice and minister among his own people. It gave IGO students an opportunity to get alongside of him and also minister there in that village. Truly, this is the fingerprints of God. Not only in Zela connecting us with him in a search for Christianity with reality, but also now that there's another step here, a native missionary is hosting students, and this is life-changing for these students when they go out and they get a perspective of the need of the unreached and the unreached regions of the world. This was the students. Brother Val was along to teach at the conference, and his daughter Shanna, and this is my daughter, our youngest daughter Jana. And the rest of them were IGO students, except David Brown. He came from America. He's searching for God's will for him in missions. He came along just to catch a vision of what God would have for him, and I'll tell you more about him later. Truly, the fingerprints of God, as MTM is able to partner with these the IGO students. We've learned that taking students with us just really broadens the testimony and witness for Christ in a faith and practice that obeys the scripture. You know, we as older men We can preach and teach these things, but when you have the all things of Christ, but when you have young people with you that are living it, the testimony and witness for Christ goes to a whole nother level. And God has really used that and blessed that to speak to the hearts of these native Christians. Moving on now to Bhutan. We've been at Thimphu, Bhutan, twice now. Repeat conferences. Bhutan is a closed country in many ways. I'll tell you more about that. This is some of our classes and students that we've had, all of them, again, church leaders and church planters and native missionaries. Merle Burkholder was along on this one. He's here. Here Val is along again as well. Here's a glimpse of some of the house worship. We can learn from their passion and their love for the Lord. Yeah, go ahead, turn it up a little bit. There's still some more. And he's Nugo. Not uncommon for the sisters to cover their heads in Bhutan. The gospel opportunities in Bhutan are really staggering. The kingdom of Bhutan is the only true Buddhist nation on earth. The king must be a Buddhist, and it's basically run by the Buddhist monks. The population is 700,000. There are a total of 12 ethnic people groups, or 12 different races of or ethnicity in Bhutan. And only a total of 5,000 Christians among 700,000. That's less than 1%. And all of those 5,000 Christians are in one ethnic people group. The other 11 people groups are totally unreached for Jesus Christ. Yet there are church leaders and Christians there that have a great vision and burden to see their people, all of their people, all the races, come to Christ. And the Buddhist stronghold in Bhutan is staggering. While we were there, there was a Buddhist festival, and we attended it. And what they're trying to do here is catch the evil spirits so they won't trouble the people. Majority of these people have never heard the gospel one time. See the black bag in the middle? They're trying to chase the evil spirits in the black bag. They have no concept that which Jesus Christ has already conquered and stepped on the enemy, that we can have victory over Jesus Christ, over the devil, I'm sorry. They believe that the evil, ugly faces will chase the spirits into the bag and hold them in captive so that the people can be free, that which only Jesus Christ has done. The need is staggering in Bhutan, and God has opened the door for MTM in Bhutan. Lord willing, we're going to go back again in 2011. They are asking us to come to conduct another conference to teach their people, train their people in the all things of Christ, that God can fill them to fullness of the Holy Spirit and be empowered to be a witness for Christ. Truly an open door that God has given MTM and the fingerprint of God. We give him glory. By the way, you find no tourists in Bhutan. There's a $250 tax just to go into the country. And they want to keep tourism out. And most times you will not see any tourists. I don't know if we ever seen any tourists. And the reason is that they don't want anybody to come. But God has opened the door for us to go, contacts and a way to get in. Yeah, we have to pay the tax, but we can go and minister the gospel to the church leaders there. Come with me to Myanmar, another country that has an open door for MTM. It's a restricted country. Yangon is capital city, and there's been two conferences there in 2008 and 2009, and in about later in the month of August, we are going back. These are were two of our classes, our students, most all of them, again, church leaders, as we had a conference there. And while we were there, Jeremiah Miko, who is the coordinator, he got married, and I had the blessed privilege of sharing in that wedding ceremony. Myanmar is the Shwe Dagon Pagoda, particularly, is the most holy place for Buddhists in Myanmar. That thing is plated with pure gold, and the people bow down and worship Buddha. This is May and Sway, a young brother and sister that we have met the first time we were there. We met them on the street. They could speak English. They invited us to their home. Every time we go, we have dinner there at their house with their folks. Their folks are staunch Buddhist, but especially May is searching, and she's searching for truth. When we were there, she asked for a Bible. And she is presently reading the Bible. Pray for May that her eyes would be enlightened and open to the truth of Jesus Christ, and she would come to Christ as well as her brother. Again, we see the fingerprints of God in making connections with key people, even in Myanmar. Let's go to Northeast India. By the way, back to Myanmar, there's two conferences yet this year that MTM will be conducting. One of them in Yangon, and the other one in Shan State, which is one of the most remote states of all of Myanmar. Let's go to India, another country that God has opened the door very much for teaching and training. It is my understanding that this region of India, just about right in through here, is the highest concentration of unreached people groups in all of the world. South India is much more evangelized, but North India is where the majority of the unreached people groups of the world are located. Now, China also has a lot of unreached people groups, but they're spread across a large geographical region. This region of India is much smaller, and India has a population, I think it's 1.2 billion, China 1.3. India will pass them up. They're projecting in a few short years. And most of the unreached people groups are in this region. It's interesting that God has opened the door for MTM in that region of India in teaching and training church leaders in the all things of Christ. Let's go to Siliguri, India. That's up in here. It's what they call the chicken's neck of India, next to Nepal and also Bhutan. January of this year, there was a total of 237 church leader students gathered together for, I think it was either a 3 or 4 day conference, if my memory is serving me correctly. And they came together from three Himalayan countries. Just to give you an idea of the hunger to hear Bible teaching and training. They have no other resources. They have no commentaries and lexons and all those things that we have readily available. They're begging for material to be translated that can help them in their ministries. But when there's a conference, they come. They came from North India, Nepal, and Bhutan. just another picture of the group. Just a great hunger. You teach for hours, and they want more. Just a real privilege, a real honor, a real blessing to teach and speak to these hungry church leaders. After the conference, they asked me to bring a commitment-type message, and God just really moved amongst the service. A little more on that later. My wife was along on this one, and also our second to the youngest daughter, Lurita. And here Naomi is ministering and praying with the sisters, those that different ones that had responded at the invitation. And that's what you're seeing here in this video. There was just a lot of response, a lot of tears, a lot of commitments made unto the Lord after that commitment type message. Back here praying also this summer. You can see this. Most of the seats are empty. Most everybody responded in being a usable vessel, empty of self and filled with the Holy Spirit to be used of God. There, Naomi's praying with some sisters. This region of India, just north of where we were, is a beautiful Himalayan mountain range. After the conference, the coordinator took us to this to see these mountains, and it was just fabulous. Third highest mountain range in the world, right next to Mount Everest. We'll move away from that very quickly. That's just one of the added benefits that goes with it. Come with us now to Visag, India, which is right here, a little more in the southern regions of the geographical region that I spoke about. Another church leader conference, Brother Lee Muma and his wife Joyce. I had the door shut to me on this conference. We were both going, and they had just implemented a new rule. You had to be out of the country 60 days before you could go back in. I had only been out of India about 3 or 4 weeks, and the immigration officer was proud to tell me, "I'm not going to let you in." And so it was. They put me in a transfer lounge. It felt like a transgressor's lounge, and shipped me back to Thailand. But Lee and Joyce went on, and God just mightily moved in this conference with Lee and Joyce ministering with the church leaders there. Lord willing, we are going back again later this year to this same region, very remote region. Brother Lee said that Brother Abraham, the conference coordinator, said that never a white man had been in this region. So these are some of the opportunities that come our way. Now come with us to the state of Orissa. Orissa is the darkest state for the gospel in all of India. This is Rajganpur. It's more in northwest Orissa. I think most of those persecution riots of 2008 were more in this region of Orissa. But certainly the Christians there are keenly aware of those riots that took place in 2008. Wilmer Shank from Dublin, Georgia, came to serve as a teacher. Here's David Brown again, who later taught a TESOL class at IGO after this conference. And this is Jordan Flory. Jordan was also an IGO student and was going along in seeking God's will for his life. So it was with David Brown. And David will now be working in the future in India. But let's move on. We rode a train for 10 hours going from Bhubaneswar to Rajganpur or to Ranchi.
Yeah, we're on the train here.
It's quite an experience in India to ride the train.
Yeah,
I mean, the doors are open. You can hang out and just do what you want to do, and that's what we're doing here. You get to see regions of India you would never see otherwise. We were in a very remote village where the conference was conducted. As you can see, Rajgampur village life in northwest Orissa. There's David. He was serving as a prayer warrior. He was not teaching, seeking the Lord, and praying for the conference. And once again, God just really moved. And if you're a young person, and maybe you don't want to, you don't sense the Lord going to IGO and studying at the Bible Institute, I would encourage you to do that. But maybe you want to go along on something like this and get alongside of these native coordinators and hear their hearts and the needs of the people. It touched and greatly changed David's life that he's going back to India in a more full-time ministry. And here you can see some of the village life in the remote regions of Orissa. And once again, this was an area where white man had not been before. And so you're going to see here after a bit how white man is so strange that he frightens people. I'll point it out when we get there. These pictures were taken by white men, by the way. Watch these children.
Run, dude.
Watch them go. Why are they running so? Why don't they get on the bike and ride? They are frightened to death. Who are these strange-looking characters? Hard to preach when they do that, isn't it? It just gives you a little bit of an idea of how strange it is when a foreigner comes, even in teaching the conference. It's almost like turning the clock back 50 years or more. Folks basically live off of the land. This was our a group. For those of you that are working in India here, I know there's a number of you brothers. This is Brother Suresh, and this is Brother Binay. I don't know if you guys would know him or not, but these are all church leaders from Orissa. Most of them are from the Cuttack and Bhubaneswar region, but also more into northwest Orissa. The ladies were primarily doing the cooking. This was a real mature group. Most of them knew some English. We really connected with them, and it was a tremendous blessing in their hunger for the word. Here we're working through
an
interpreter.
How many of your churches send out your leaders? The big man in your church, does he stay at home or does he go? Stays at home.
You see, got to Acts 13 if you're wondering what we're teaching on. Where Paul and Barnabas, the Antioch church, send out their leaders.
The pastor, just like me, wants to stay at home. You see the struggles? You see how you can identify with them? Where leaders do not set an example of being the first one to go. And because they don't set that example, most of the church stays at Jerusalem.
Sometimes it gets pretty interesting. Poor Wilmer is wondering, what are they talking about? Wilmer says, first I'd like to know what the subject is. What's the question? But most of the time it's a great blessing, but it's wonderful to get them to interact and hear their hearts. Let's go to Nepal. Three conferences in 13 months. Another country that a great open door of utterance for MTM. Population 29 million, less than 1% are born-again Christians. This was in May of 2009, the first time we were there. Harold Carpenter and I hiked for several hours to had a village service, and there was two men that came to Christ at that village service. Now we're back just this past May, 2010, at this conference in Dahading, and after that conference, we also traveled back to Pokhara, and these two brothers had come to Christ a year ago. Now this year, it's a year later, they've been discipled, they've been taught in the all things of Christ, and now they are conducting a baptism, and they asked me to help take part in the baptism, and I actually had the joy of, by the grace of God and the mercy of God, yes, to be there to lead them to Christ, and then also baptize them. Literally, Matthew 28 fulfilled, as our brother read those scriptures, teaching and baptizing in the name of Jesus, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, someone said, well, should not have the local leaders baptize them. That is correct. They also took part. We did it together jointly. So just a great blessing in being working with these native church leaders in discipling, baptizing, teaching, and training. Now, we're back in Nepal just this past June. It's just about 3 weeks ago. Another conference. We had IGO students with us. Here's Marvin Kaufman's daughter Marilyn was along. Rosa King was teaching a ladies' class through she's ministries, teaching the... where we're teaching the pastors and the church leaders there. Peter Rye was our coordinator when he told me later. Cover their heads. He teaches these things in his church. You see his sisters here, veiled and covered. And he said, all the American Christians I ever seen, they never obey that. He came right to me and said, you're telling me you are American Christians? Oh, you only do this in Thailand, right? You don't have churches back in America that support these truths, do you? I said, yeah, you do? He was shocked, and he was so impressed by our young people, our IGO students, and we had our wives along too, that live the gospel. They live the word of God. He bought a plane ticket, and he is right now at IGO to learn more about the Anabaptist people. He never knew. How do you explain that? Here's a man that is searching for encouragement in obedience to the scripture, and God connects us with him. He gets great discouragement from his own people in obeying the truth of the word, and God uses Anabaptist people to bless him and encourage him in the truths of the scripture. Truly, the fingerprint of God. Asian Bible School. Every March, I need to hasten to finish here, we have church leaders coming from different parts of Asia to study for 3 weeks at the IGO Bible Campus. This was this past March. We had students from, these are all past MTM alumni. This is Brother Pastor Rufus and his wife Pamelia from Bhutan. This is Pastor Man from Nepal. This is Pastor Daniel from India. And this is Pastor Isaac from Myanmar. All of these had been students at former MTM conferences. Now they come for extended study at the Bible Institute at our Asian Bible School. And we also had students this past March from Singapore, from China, and from Thailand, along with these students from these different countries. But let me tell you about the testimony of this man. I'm not going to try and say his name, but we just called him Isaac. He said the same thing that basically Peter Rye said. He said, "You are different. You Christians obey the scripture. You obey the scripture in modesty." He said, your sisters are meek and quiet and reserved, and they are in submission to the men in their lives. He said, our women, huh? He said, they're haughty. They want to be pastors and they want to rule over us. But he said, you're very different. He was very inspired by the lives of the IGO staff, as well as the teachers and their families. He told me that when he was in our home for dinner one evening. So God is opening the door for us as Anabaptist people to be a witness and a testimony for him in ways that many times these people have never seen before. Let us be faithful and walk through these doors of opportunity. Just a quick glimpse of the upcoming conferences that MTM has scheduled. We get back to Thailand August 14th, about a week or so. We're off to Yangon, Myanmar, September, Africa. These are all planned and in place. September back again, and beginning of October back to Myanmar. About the end of October, Egypt, back to Visag, India, into 2011. This is up in Kashmir State. That's up by Pakistan. This brother had attended one of the other conferences and said, we want you to come to this region of India. Back to Cuttack, Bhubaneswar in February. And this one in Pakistan is somewhat tentative. We're seeking the Lord. This brother really wants us to come. We're seeking the Lord for wisdom, safety, such forth. That being very much, well, you know what Pakistan is like. And then this is northeast India up in Nagaland, just to give you a glimpse of the open door that God has given MTM. And we're very grateful, and we give him all the honor and the glory. Pick up a prayer card in the back. Please do pray for us. This is our two youngest daughters that are with us in Thailand. Larita had been teaching school, teaching the missionary children, Val's daughters, and Rick's children. But she will be actually taking classes the upcoming semester. Jana is Naomi's right-hand helper in the kitchen. Naomi does the weekend cooking at the IGO Bible Institute, and Jana helps her. There are financial opportunities with MTM. When we go in to these conferences, unless we provide some means for them, the students, the native Christians, to come, they can't come because most times they're very poor. So we do fund up to 80% of the conference, which is primarily bus fare, transportation to get to the conference, and then the food and the lodging, which basically means laying on a rice mat in a like a dorm style setting, often a nearby building, and then we also provide the food up to 80% and the transportation for them to go back home. We do not provide any funding beyond the conference. Our primary focus is Bible teaching, Bible training. And all the money that is given to MTM goes for facilitating these conferences and these Bible training seminars. Our support to live in Thailand comes from another source. That is not, we are not living out of this. So every dollar that is given to IGO, MTM, is used to facilitate these conferences for Bible training. And there, if you do feel led of the Lord to give in that way, just be sure to earmark the contribution MTM. IGO has numerous funds, and the earmark gets it into the right fund. Two websites that you can visit to find out more about IGO. IGOAsia.org, www.igoasia.org is the general website for all the ministries of IGO. www.rayburkholder.com is the MTM website. And if you want to get emails from time to time, get your name on the sign-up sheet. Turn up the volume. Here is a little video clip to bring you along to the needs of Asia.
job is not done in the world that Christ gave us to do, and the mandate is still binding on us today. That's why we speak of unreached people groups. But the missions is the back-breaking, culture-penetrating, darkness-shattering initial work to penetrate, plant the church, see it flourish, get its own elders, train its own people, evangelize its own networks. That's the task of missions. It's not over. And that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the alternative is hell. And millions and millions and millions of people are on their way there. And we have the only means of escape in our heads and in our hearts. Jesus Christ.
There are many prodigal sons on our city streets they run, searching for shelter. And there are homes broken down, people's hopes have fallen to the ground. This is an emergency, and there are tears from the saints for the lost and the saved. We're crying for them, come back home. We're crying for them, come.
Isn't that the truth?
So, count the cost, brothers and sisters. This is not an invitation to an easy life. For 2,000 years, thousands and thousands of missionaries, the unnamed, no biographies written about them, just unnamed people of whom the world is not worthy, have counted this cost and put their lives at risk and reached the lost with the only message of salvation.
Can we have the lights, please? Okay, everybody's still here. Good. I want to say thank you for coming tonight and hearing and seeing what God is doing in Southeast Asia. I don't believe that God is calling all of you to go to Asia as a missionary. But you know, some give unto the Lord by going. Others give unto the Lord by giving. Some give by going, others go by giving. But all are called to give unto the Lord. So sometimes I get misunderstood that everybody thinks, oh, you think everybody has to go to Asia to do missions. No. That's not my heart. You know, it's interesting to me that those 6,000 unreached people groups, God is bringing them from Asia into our midst. If I'm not mistaken, there's probably some of them here in Hutch. Am I right? You don't have to go to Asia. It's like God is saying to the church, you know, you can't all go, but I really all want all of you to be involved in bringing the gospel to the unreached. So he brings them to us. That's a picture of God's heart for all people to know Christ. So God isn't calling all to go, but he is calling all of us to give unto the Lord. And I'm not sure what that all means to you. So God bless you for your interest and your support and whatever that means. Now, I told you I'm going to give a time of questions and answers, and I know the clock has moved on. It always does when you're having a good time, right? Any questions? Yes, back here. Brother David, right? Yeah, that's Raj, right? Yes, Raj is one of my favorite interpreters. And you all met him already? Is that right? He was here? Yes. So we have worked with him as well. He's been a blessing to us. Yeah, thank you. Is there anything else you had on that, David? Yes, there was a hand here. Yes, brother. Right. That's a very good question. It is, again, the fingerprint of God. We have never campaigned or solicited for one single conference. Most of the time, it just simply is an email ends up in my inbox. That's often how it happens. Some of them I have asked, how did you find out about MTM? And here's been the testimony of a number of them. They have expressed how they have a heart for their people to be taught the all things of Christ, Bible teaching. And so they pray. They say, God, send us men and women that can teach and disciple us. And then they go to an internet cafe and they go on the websites. They go on the internet. And there's been numerous ones that one brother said that he had just prayed. He said, God, I want to be able for our people to have Bible teaching. And he did a search, and the MTM website came up. And thus an email came our way. The more we do of this kind of work, this brother tells that brother, and that brother tells this brother, and this brother tells that brother, and it's going hither and yon. People are finding out about MTM. So it's very much a God-orchestrated thing. And we're at the place now that we cannot answer all the requests. A prayer request would be that, yes, we would have wisdom to know which ones to accept. And also, we are seeking another family to live full-time in ministry at Chiang Mai, so that we can be conducting two conferences simultaneously. One brother is leading a conference in this country, and another brother is leading a conference in another country. We're at that place that we need help. And so you can pray about that. Okay, and if you are here and you have a heart for this kind of work, let me know. Get your name on the sign-up sheet that you would have interest in serving as a teacher. We have teacher needs. Typically, I go myself, but I always take someone with me. And we're looking for Bible teachers that are willing to make sacrifice and come and go and teach these people the all things of Christ. So if you have interest, let me know. Okay? Any more questions? Did that answer your question, brother? Okay. Either it was covered well, or you're shy, or you're ready to go home. And it might be all of the above, huh? I'm through if you're through. But I don't want to miss any questions if you might have a question. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you for allowing us to come and just show you what God is doing through IGO and especially the MTM ministry. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the opportunity. And God bless you. Pray for us as we give direction to this ministry. Thank you. God bless you. Benji?
Well, thank you, Raymond. Wow, that was really enjoyable. I was excited about the evening, but I think I'm more excited now about what God is doing. I really appreciate you coming, brother. Let's all rise for a closing prayer. Paul. Oh, yeah. I was going to mention that. Yeah, he's going to be at Prairie Chapel tomorrow evening, Friday evening, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. And all of the meetings except for Sunday evening will be preaching the word, sort of revival, weekend of revivals. And then Sunday evening will be kind of this presentation. So that's the tentative plan. And so Sunday evening will be, again similar, but the others will all be will be new preaching. So let's pray. Dear Father God, I just thank you so much for what you're doing in Asia, that your gospel continues to spread, and that the people who haven't heard are hearing. But God, we also realize that the needs continue to be great. God, prepare the hearts of your saints, all of the world, to respond to that call and to be obedient. I just pray that you would work in their hearts and that there would be a brokenness and an openness within your church to go and to tell people. I pray that you would bless especially the Macedonian ministry as it continues. Thank you for the encouraging signs of your fingerprints over this ministry. But I pray that you would not leave them now, that you would continue to show your power and your direction through this ministry. I pray especially for Raymond as he continues to speak, and I pray that you would continue to fill him with your power, your Holy Ghost. Bless us all as we go home this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.